May the words of my mouth
and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This past Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension. And for that feast, I borrowed an idea from a YouTube star, and I preached about Mary Poppins to illustrate why the Ascension matters to us. I'm not going to get into all that today. If you're curious, you can just Google Father Matthew Presents the Ascension and Mary Poppins. The analogy works surprisingly well. But today, I'm going to channel another Disney live-action film from the late 1960s. I don't know if you young ones know who Pollyanna is, but she is a character who sees the best in the world and believed that love could change the world. Every year on the seventh Sunday of Easter, we get to overhear Jesus praying. On the night before his crucifixion, after sharing with them the Last Supper and washing their feet, Jesus stops everything to pray for his friends, his disciples, the ones he loves. Each of these 3 years in our lectionary cycle, we hear a different portion of this prayer that Jesus prays on behalf of his disciples. In the first portion of the prayer, which we heard last year in year A, Jesus describes the ways his disciples have been prepared for their coming mission. In the final portion, which we will hear next year, Jesus wraps up his prayer asking God to bless the mission that he's passing on to the disciples. So that the world may come to know, Jesus says, the good news of God's love. And this year, in the middle part of the prayer, the disciples get to hear Jesus ask for God's protection for them and that they might be united, sharing in the relationship between the Son and, dare I say, on this day of all days, perhaps, the Holy Mother God. Jesus asks for protection for his disciples from the entanglements of the world that get in the way of their unity with God and each other. Jesus recognizes that his disciples need to be freed from the grip of the evil one. As an Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, put it 80 years ago, the evil one, person or principle, matters little, has a grip on us. Deliver us from the evil one. I agree with William Temple that it matters little whether we think of the evil one as person or principle. And I think that for the sake of considering the world into which the disciples were sent, it's important to understand the many possible meanings of the word that is translated here as evil. It can indeed mean evil or wicked. It can also mean sick or spoiled, like fruit. In a word, broken. Deliver us from the grip of the world that is sick, decaying, broken. A world that needs not only our resistance, but our compassion. A world that God loved enough to send the Son to bring light and life for healing and salvation. And Jesus prays this prayer so that his disciples might take up his apostolic mission to bring the message of God's love for the world to the world. Apostolic means sent, and Jesus reminds us again and again in John's gospel that God sent him into the world to embody God's love, to bring healing and salvation, to enact God's will in the world. And Jesus prays for his disciples, most especially, that they might participate in the flow of love between God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, so that they might be one as we are one, Jesus prays. And unlike the other gospel accounts of this last night before the crucifixion, where the disciples really blow it, falling asleep while Jesus prays, in John's gospel, the disciples get to overhear Jesus praying for them, asking for God's protection, honestly naming the fact that going into the world is going to be hard, and recognizing that the disciples have kept the word that was sent to them. Imagine what it was like to hear these loving words about oneself in Jesus' own voice. Imagine that. Jesus also prays for us explicitly. In the very next verse of the prayer of Jesus, which we didn't hear just now, but we'll hear next year, Jesus says, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word." Everything that Jesus asks on behalf of the disciples who were there in the upper room with him, he asks on our behalf too. Jesus says, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world." And what is the name of God? The name of God is love. It is the nature of God, love. And Jesus, anointed in that love, manifesting that love, prays for us. Indeed, one of the ways that Jesus manifests that love of God is in prayer. When you think about it, true prayer is an act of love. When we really pray authentically, honestly, and unabashedly, that is an act of pure love. And Jesus shows us how this is done. Open your hearts to God, whatever is there. Share it with the one who is love. And when I say open your heart to God, I mean just that. If you're praying for yourself, let God absorb your worry, your fear, your anger, your doubt, your boredom, your frustration, whatever it is that's in your heart. Lay it out there completely. Air it out with God. And let God's presence suffuse it with love. If you're praying for someone else, don't just say, "God, please fix that," or "please heal that." Open up your care and your concern and your compassion and examine it. Show it to God in great detail, every little bit of it. Take time to name the hope that you have for that person. Express to God the fear, the thanksgiving, the aggravation, the joy, whatever it is that you feel towards that person. And let your prayer be an expression of your love. Let it be an opportunity to experience thankfulness for the blessings, whether they're yours or someone else's. And be honest in your prayer. If you're confused or unsure about how to pray or what to pray, name that too. Be real with God. It won't make that much difference to God, who already knows what's in your heart anyway, but it could change you into a little Christ, which is what the word Christian actually means, you know. What would it look like if we prayed like Jesus? Not just on Sundays or in the morning, in the evening, but but all the time? What if we made that kind of honest, unflinching, unapologetic love for the world a core value, an organizing principle of our lives? As my colleague Matthew Muter says, what if we understood that we aren't just being protected and freed from the evil one? What if we knew and believed and acted out of the truth that we are freed for the sharing of our joy with others so that they too can find joy in knowing Jesus and becoming his followers? What if we took Jesus' prayer and the blessings that it bestows upon his disciples in that upper room and truly begin to believe that they are ours also? What if we begin to behave as if the promises and gifts of unity that Jesus prays for are ours to share in the world? What if we opened our hearts to God in prayer and discovered that we had become just a little bit more like Jesus? What if? What if? I know it sounds pretty Pollyanna, but just imagine. What might we be able to do in God's name? What might we be able to do in God's name if we really prayed like Jesus?